You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Take these shoes, click-clacking down some dead end street. Take these shoes.
All right, folks, we have past the halfway mark here in the show. We've got lots more coming up. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, streaming live at drewmarshall.ca and, of course, live right here on Joy 1250 in Southern Ontario. Joining us as co-host for the entire show is my very, very good friend, Greg Paul, author of many books and founder of something. What are you the founder of again? Sanctuary, the most uncomfortable church I've ever been to. We're going to find out more about Greg later in the show, so right now, it's not about him. Got some great journeys, some interesting stories here on the show. Lori Hodgson is a former Scientologist. However, her son, daughter, and ex-husband are still active members and have made the decision to follow Scientology policy by, quote, disconnecting from her. Lori joined Scientology in 1976 at the age of 13. Having virtually grown up in one of the world's most secretive organizations, she eventually left her staff position and continued as a parishioner known as a public. However, recently, Lori made the decision to leave Scientology altogether and has gone public, speaking of public, with her frustrations. Since then, her family has been really torn apart by Scientology and their rules, and just being allowed to see her own children has been a complete nightmare. So Lori joins us today to actually talk about this nightmare. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. It's our pleasure, our privilege. These sorts of stories bother most of us, and I think, you know, outsiders with any sense of common sense would listen in and go, well, is that really true? Is that really the way it went down? And there's three sides to every story, et cetera, et cetera. However, when you start to hear story after story after story after story of people within Scientology coming out of Scientology and experiencing the same abuses that you have,
mm-hmm.
then you start to go, there must be something to it.
Right.
Fair enough?
Yes, definitely.
Where are you? You're living in California?
Yes, I live in California. I'm very close to where my children live, although I can't see them. They're about 20 minutes away from me.
Wow. Well, let's go back to February 6th, 2011. Tell us about that day.
That was my father's birthday, and we met at a restaurant. My children would not honor my birthday, which was a birthday party a couple days earlier, because they did not want to be around me anymore since I left the church, and that I went public with my frustrations. They said they wouldn't talk to me or be around me unless I got back in good standing with the church. So they did show up for my dad's birthday, and I was there, and that's the last time I've seen my children, which is about 9 months ago. Until recently, 3 weeks ago, I saw them at the hospital. My son had a very serious motorcycle accident, and I was not allowed to see him in emergency or even know what his status was. So the disconnection policy was in full force, even at the hospital, which was very hard for a mother, not even knowing how your son is.
That's horrible.
And the next day, I persevered and stood right there by the when the doctor came out and was able to talk to him and found out that my son, you know, had a successful operation. It was very serious. He had his femur broken, and his shoulder blade was broken also.
How old are your children right now?
They just turned 18. Jeremy turned 18 in June, and my daughter, Jessica, just turned 21 in August.
So I want to be fair to everybody because, you know, the heartstrings get pulled when we think of small little children, you know.
Right, they're adult children.
Right, right.
Yeah.
However, this has been a journey that has torturously gone on for years. So let's do a little chronological thing here. What attracted you to Scientology when you were 13? Was it just sort of that, you know, start of a sort of a rebellious thing and let's go join a cool little club? Or did you have a Scientology family members back then?
Yeah, my mom just got in Scientology, and she liked it, and I was having some trouble. I was very shy and didn't have a lot of confidence, and so I needed some help there, and she told me about the communication class that I took that I really liked because it helped me not be as shy as I was.
Hmm. So when you first joined, obviously you liked Scientology. It helped you with your shyness. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it did.
Sort of a summary, I guess?
Yeah.
And at the age of 16, is that when you sort of became a formal Scientologist?
No, at 13, but I joined part-time staff. I was still in school, so I joined part-time for 5 years. I fulfilled my 5-year contract working for the Church of Scientology.
Hold on. You had a 5-year contract at what age?
16 years old.
So at 16 years old, they make you sign a contract.
Right.
And is this just like sign here to say you're part of this club? Is there any sort of legal ramifications with this contract?
Whatever services you get from the church, if you leave before your contract is up, then you need to pay back all that, the services that you've gotten.
I didn't
have to do that. I finished my full 5 years.
So if you leave before the 5 years is up and you're getting I forgot the terminology.
But the counseling, it's called auditing,
or taking courses. Right,
there's
so you're taking their courses and the auditing and all the stuff that they sell, basically. They're selling it to you, but they say to you, we'll give you this stuff for free if you stay with us for 5 years.
And if you do a good job as you're working there, yes, you get awarded it. But then if you leave, you have that debt.
Right.
And so that's what happened with my children, which I'll go into later when they went on staff.
But even at the age of 16, you had a weird feeling in your gut?
Well, I was recruited to also join the Sea Organization, which is a larger commitment. They want you to sign a billion-year contract to work for the Church of Scientology.
Only a billion?
Yeah, only a billion.
What about with the tough economy? Does that go down to half a billion at all?
This they believe you come back life after life and you're going to, you know, serve yourself to working for the church. I got recruited for that, but I knew better. I did not want to do that, so I just signed the 5-year contract.
So was it the billion-year contract that gave you the bad vibe, or was there other stuff?
No, that did. I just didn't think that... Didn't seem very rational.
So you were pretty smart as a 16-year-old.
I was, yes. And then at 21, I saw some things in the church that I didn't think that was appropriate, and I finished my contract, and I went away to college. And that was a little struggle, but because I didn't have a full high school education. But I did go away and got my degree, bachelor's degree, from Chico University.
And then came back into the fold, so to speak,
after. Yes, I met my ex-husband and got back involved as a public parishioner.
Right. And then wanted to continue on with Scientology. And I guess continuing with Scientology means if you're going to be in our fold, it's about progression. It's about getting up to the next level. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And how was that with your husband? He was fine with going up the levels?
He was, this is my ex-husband.
Yeah, your
ex, now, he's not in Scientology, but he was a little higher than me, and he was very happy that I wanted to continue to do classes since I've been off for 6 years.
If I get this right, the big thing in your story is the Sea Org, right?
Yes, that's what this, that will start with Jeremy, my son.
So again, the only thing you know as of now is... when you were 16, they wanted you to join the Sea Org, and you weren't into that because of this billion-year contract. And I said, well, what freaked you out about the Sea Org? Well, the billion-year contract. But you didn't really have any other kind of reasons to have a bad vibe. And now you're married.
Yeah, I did.
What were they?
That parents weren't allowed to see their children. They were, but they couldn't see them very often.
At 16, you didn't know that, though.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
I heard rumors, yes, but I didn't know they were true. I just heard that parents, you know, that once you go there, you don't really have very much time off, and it's hard to see your family. I did hear those things. And I was a very, very much a family person.
And then, of course, 1995, you run into the owner of this school, a Scientology school, and she's crying. And you go, you know, as any caring being would, you'd say, well, what's wrong? And her response was?
I was working for her. She was the principal of the school. I was the preschool director. And I just said... why are you crying? She said, because my daughter has just signed a contract to work for the Sea Organization, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I looked at her, and I just said, what do you mean? She's 15. Why can't you do anything about it? She said, I can't talk about it. So you're not allowed to voice that you're not happy with this, and that's how you just feel very coerced and manipulated, and I went through that at – when my son wanted to join. So I now know what she went through.
What is the Sea Org?
The Sea Organization is one of the higher organizations in Scientology. One is in Florida, and one is in L.A. And basically they deliver, that's where you sign the billion-year contract, and you work for the Church of Scientology there. And they also deliver the most advanced counseling and courses.
Yeah.
I try to talk in non-Scientology words for people to understand, but yeah, it's auditing, which means counseling.
By the way, is anyone knocking at your door right now looking for a squirrel?
No, but they don't know I'm here. I kind of tricked them a little bit on Facebook. So
good for you.
I do get followed, so I have to be careful with where I say that, where I'm at. But no, there's no one here right now.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, folks. The door knocking campaign of the Jehovah's Witnesses pale in comparison to what happens if you decide to share any of the inside details about Scientology. The guys that come out and try to get you to shut up. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, in your experience, I can't speak for everybody, but in your experience, wow. So
yeah.
You and your husband divorced in 2002.
Uh-huh.
And then you remove your children from Scientology school, right, and place them in a public school?
Yeah, I could not afford it anymore. At that time, it was $600 per child. I was a single mom.
$600 per child for how long?
A month.
$600 a month. So hold on, but if you could afford it.
No, I actually wanted them to get out in the world and just experience, you know, life things and not just be esoteric with just Scientology friends. I always wanted them to, I had many friends outside the church, and I wanted that for them. And so public school, it was a little challenge for the first 3 months, but then they adapted well.
When teenagers hit, what, 15 and their
15.
Brain, what, how old?
15 is when both of my children were, that's when my nightmare began with my Jessica.
Well, that's when every parent's nightmare begins at 15.
Right.
But yours is like times 1,000 because... she basically begins to get recruited into the Sea Org, which is your nightmare.
She's not in the Sea Org at that time. That's just she was recruited to be on staff like I was and sign the five-year contract. She didn't want to join the Sea Org at that time.
Oh, she didn't want to. Okay. All right.
She went into that later, but she got recruited behind my back. Her father brought her down there. She was very happy in school, getting A's and B's. We went and saw Chico State. She wanted to go to college. She wanted to be a veterinarian. And she goes and watches this staff recruiting film and talks to a couple of the members down at the church. And then a couple of days later says, Mom, I want to work for the Church of Scientology full time. I want to get my GED. You drop out of school, and this is my purpose in life. And I go, what? I mean, this is the first time I heard this. She was very happy.
But why wouldn't that make you happy? Because you're still a Scientologist at this time.
Because I wanted her to have an education. I knew getting a GED, I wanted her to get an education in high school, go to college, and then make that decision.
Right.
Because I know I was so happy that I was able to go to college. And the years that I was, I feel that you're too young to really know. And that's what I fought against the church. At 16, I feel you're too young to make a big decision like that.
Sure.
And would you say, Lori, that that's why the Church of Scientology is targeting youth at that age? Is because they can draw them into something that maybe they wouldn't if they were trying to approach them later?
I think so. And what child, if you're told all these neat things, you're going to save the world, and why wouldn't they want to drop out of school? Most kids don't like school.
Not much difference between that and the evangelical scene, aside we're not providing a sort of a GED, come on board to our campus and forget life and school kind of thing. We are, the Jesus people still have a huge campaign for teenagers because the statistics out there say if you buy into Christianity when you're a teenager, it is going to stick as opposed
to,
you know what I mean? I mean, those stats are out there, Barner and the rest, right? So there's not much difference. I get,
that's
well,
correct.
Okay, there's probably a big difference as we continue in this story. So
So at 15, Jessica gets recruited, and I strongly am against it.
Right.
I was having counseling myself at that time, and I was on what I was working on, and they pulled me off it because I was not in agreement with her joining staff and getting her GED. I fought it and fought it. So they put me in counseling. That was not what I was working on, trying to find out who was responsible for not wanting my daughter to be, to support her to go on staff.
They were trying to figure out who was responsible for
this.
Was
it your dad? Was it your stepdad? And I said, it wasn't either of them. I'm the one, as her mom, that I want her to stay in school.
Right. And how did they take that?
It's the kind of counseling where they just keep looking for the who, and that went on and on, and I still fought against it. So then they put me in with a chaplain of the church, with my ex-husband, Jessica's father, Jessica and myself, and the chaplain. And that went on for a couple months. And we finally came to an agreement that she would go to a Scientology school again to get her diploma. But I didn't realize she could do that in 4 months. See, so when she was 16, she got her diploma, and then I told her, once you get your diploma, you can be on staff. But you have to get your diploma.
And you were thinking high school diploma.
Like not 4 months.
So here's the thing. In your story here, your daughter incurs a debt of $13,000 at 16 years of age?
Yes.
The Church of Scientology?
Yes. She signed her 5-year contract like I did. But after 4 months, she went to Florida to get some training. She got homesick. She came back. Then she's tried working, here locally, and she didn't want to stay on staff anymore. And I told her, Jessica, if you break that agreement, you are going to be responsible for paying everything back. Do you understand? Oh, Mom, I understand. I will not break this agreement. I promise you.
Right. And it's like getting your kid a dog or a pet,
Right.
Do you understand? You have to take care of this. It has to be, yeah, I get it.
But the $13,000, 12 or 13 is roughly, was for her counseling that she had to be in, was ordered to be in because she wanted to leave. It wasn't even about all her courses. Mostly it was the counseling she got because she wanted to leave. That's what I thought was so insane.
Yeah. So she has to pay $13,000 for counseling fees that they were forcing on her in order to get her to stay.
Yeah, because she wanted to leave.
So right.
I want to find out why she wants to leave. Now, she did take a couple classes maybe in there. I don't know how much that was worth, but
it was the
majority of the money was the counseling. So then after she got assigned her debt, she also had to do amends, meaning 100 hours or more to get back in good standing.
Okay.
And
this goes on and on and on. How would you then... I mean, the next phase is now your son reaches a similar sort of an age, and he wants to go into this whole thing as well, correct?
Yes, and that's when he turned 15, and I just got home from the hospital from a knee replacement surgery, and he was being recruited behind my back again, and he comes in the house. He was at his father's and says, Mom, I want to join the Sea Organization, and that means the billion-year contract.
Yeah.
That means
not seeing you.
And he's going to be in Florida. And I'm not going to see him. And I'm on high levels of pain medication. And he's going on and on. And my husband said, you need to leave. Your mom cannot handle this right now. And I fought against that for like a week trying to recover. And
Did recruiters come after you to try to get you to change your mind again?
Yes. I was laying on the couch with a knee machine and an ice machine. I couldn't walk, and they were slamming on my door. And I told them they need to leave because my father was coming. I didn't want my father to see this. And then when my dad brought me back from physical therapy, they were there again. And they slammed on my door for 20 minutes. And I called the man down the street who works for the church for help. And he tried to calm me down a little bit, but he didn't come over to help me. And then they went to my parents' house to try to get my mom to try to get me to let Jeremy join the Sea Organization.
Right.
And I wrote it up to the legal department inside the church that I do not want my son recruited until he's 18.
But somehow you found out that the recruiters were told that they had heard you were just sitting there watching TV, and if you're able to watch TV, you're able to handle a recruiting cycle of your son.
Right. That is true. My friend Mari told me that. And she tried to stop it. She said she's in no condition to handle this. And so I ended up having so much stress from all of this and worrying about my son that I ended up back in the hospital and had an ovarian cyst rupture and pneumonia 2 weeks after my knee replacement surgery.
You know, there's a part to your story that I read this last night. I pored over your notes. I watched your videos. I just everything. And my head exploded on about four different occasions. So forgive me while I go through, a few of my issues here with this.
That's okay.
But in reading this, finally it comes to a point where you signed over guardianship to the Scientology, Church of Scientology for your son?
I did, and I'll tell you
You know I'm going to say why.
Yes, yeah. And I'm going to explain that.
Okay.
That's the part where my boss was crying and I didn't understand why she couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'll try to explain as best as I can. So 6 months later, Jeremy decided, no, at the time that I got back from the hospital, he decided he didn't want to join the C organization anymore. So I was really relieved. But they were recruiting him still behind my back, even though I wrote up many letters to the legal department of Scientology to not recruit him. They were still trying. So about 2 weeks prior to my second knee replacement surgery, because I had complications, I had to have it redone, Jeremy wants to join the Sea Org. Now, he talked to me for like a week. Every day he would come in and say, and I wasn't doing well because I was still in a lot of pain, and he kept saying, Mom, this is my whole purpose in life. Don't you want me to be happy and, I'm going to save the planet. I'm going to make you better by it. And it went on and on, and it's like, I kept saying no, and I knew that if I didn't agree, I fought it for so long that I may lose him by disconnection policy. I was.
Yeah, but you're going to lose him if you sign over the stuff and he goes to the Sea Org, you're going to lose him anyway.
I know. So I would have lost him back at 15, or I would have lost him now.
Right.
So that's why. So I finally signed it over, but I had to make sure they kept their promises with me. I said, I want my son to finish his schooling. They promised me. I want him to be able to come home and see me for his birthdays, for Christmas. I want to be able to talk to him at least a couple times a week. So they to finish his driver's. He was in his driver's training to get his, be able to, his permit. He was in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And they made me all these promises. Not one of them came true. He didn't have any schooling when he was in the C organization. I got to talk to my son only 4 to 5 times in 7 months. He cried many nights to come home, and I was never aware of it. They would not let him tell me. I mean, to me, that was it. I was done. I didn't want to be in this organization anymore. How can an organization like this lie like that?
Was there ever a time, because I've heard stories like this before,
mm-hmm.
that people who want to leave are free to leave. I've had this conversation with people in Scientology,
mm-hmm.
but then people who have left Scientology, I've heard that there are cases and scenarios where people are in isolation and under guard. Is that true or not?
Yes, Jeremy wanted to leave finally. He got too homesick, and I think he realized at, like I said, at 16, I feel he's too young to make that kind of decision. He
right.
realized he didn't want to be there anymore, and he wanted to leave. Before he left, he had to get approval to leave. So he was away from the base with someone guarding him, and he was not allowed to come home until he got clearance to leave.
And part of clearance is also paying off these debts for these courses?
No, he had to get counseling. I've never gone
through
it.
Which you have to pay for.
Yes, but he had to have counseling why he wanted to leave.
Right.
And they made him sign a $3 million gag agreement to not disclose anything that had happened when he was there in the C organization.
How old was he when he signed the contract?
16 years old.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. But to him it does. And if he said anything, he wouldn't be allowed to do any more services in Scientology. So he has both of those things over his
right.
head.
So the outsider is sitting here listening to this story going, a billion-year contract. Who cares? $3 million, whatever the million. How many millions was it again? Yeah. $300
million?
$300 million they have to pay back? Was that the how much was it?
No, $3 million. He signed a $3 million contract to pay to the Church of Scientology
right. okay.
if he disclosed anything.
So, Lori, the outsider is sitting here going, so? Who cares? It doesn't matter. But the reality is you, your son and your daughter in particular, still believe that if you are not in good standing with the church, then you will not progress to the next status. Your spiritual life is in jeopardy, correct?
I don't believe that, but they do.
No, but they do, right.
Well, yeah, their father.
But back at that time when that stuff was... When was this all going down? You know, him trying with Jeremy trying to get out but being isolated under guard. How many years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you had left. You had left the church at that point, right?
I didn't leave. I just left a year ago.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. You were still a Scientologist then.
Mm-hmm.
They were Scientologists,
mm-hmm.
And outsiders think, what? Why would you allow yourself to be held hostage by phony contracts?
Right.
And
see,
the reality
I didn't know
is.
He...
You guys are still believing that there are spiritual ramifications if you break these contracts. That's why you're staying.
That is true.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In leaving the Sea Organization, I guess Jeremy was issued this freeloader debt as well, $950?
Yes, he was, and he worked at a motorcycle shop and paid back every dime once he left. He got a little job and paid that back.
Right.
And he has never finished his conditions. You're also assigned conditions in Scientology, and you have to work your way up into a good standing. And he never worked his way up. I don't know. Maybe he has since. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Okay. First of all, again, my head's exploding here, Lori. I am just so sorry that your family has been torn apart by crap, BS,
right.
By garbage.
Me too.
Okay?
Me too.
But you look. I look at your journey, your story, and you've had, Lori, you've had 35 years of suspicion and 5 years of hell
mm-hmm.
before you left Scientology. 35 years of being suspicious about an organization and 5 years of hell. So I got to ask you, I mean, you know, it's begging the question, what was it that was holding you there? Was it if you still really believe that if you screwed around with their rules that your spiritual health was in danger? Or your spiritual, I'll let you describe it because I'm not getting the right words.
Yeah, your eternity, they call it.
Right.
And not so much. I feel like I was more Scientology light, people would describe me as.
Right.
And I was worried about the disconnection of not with my kids because their dad was so involved. I was always worried about that because you got to remember, I got back. I was out of Scientology for 6 years. Then I got back in when I met their father, and I was just so concerned because I knew we had different views on the Sea Organization when the kids were two. Jim said he supported the Sea Org, and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was worried about.
How do you respond when I say to you, Lori, do you enjoy beatings?
Oh, boy. Yes, after I, it was terrifying for me because it was so unexpected. This is after I left. When you leave Scientology and you speak up about things you're not happy with, like I just told you about my children,
mm-hmm.
You get retaliated against. It's called fair game policy in Scientology. They retaliate against critics, and they'll do anything.
They can lie, trick, do whatever it takes to destroy someone who's...
Oh, I've been through it all.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
And they're okay with it. They can justify it because, again, it's their fair game policy.
Right.
Okay.
And so I was approached in my parking lot. They found out my business hours. And this gentleman approached me and in an aggressive way and asked me if I enjoy beatings. And prior to that, he knew my whereabouts over the weekend by what he was saying, so I was being tracked and followed. And I just turned around, and my heart was racing. I can't run because of my knee replacement, and, I reported that to the authorities.
Okay, so you actually went to the police? Because another part of your journey that drives me bonkers is when people are doing illegal stuff to you,
mm-hmm.
Who do you report it to? You report it to the authorities in the church?
No.
You've done it?
This is outside the church now. I'm reporting it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Earlier in your journey, when bad stuff was going down, illegal stuff was going on, you didn't report to the authorities. You reported to the proper authorities, to the police. You reported to the authorities in the Church of Scientology, and I have a really hard time calling it a church. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You have to work inside the church. When you're in the church, you're not supposed to go to the outside,
right.
for for help. You're supposed to work work it out internally.
Right. How very Catholic Church sex scandal is that?
Right. And so once I was out, I was like, oh no, and this is not okay. So yes, I did report it. And then my next thing that happened, part of the retaliation, is that by the same gentleman, I was followed across state lines. Another person that followed me was the person who I wrote up to not have the recruiting for my son. So it's just interesting that these two people show up in Texas and are trying to stop me from seeing a counselor for help about my kids.
Yeah, if you want to see video footage of that, type in squirreling. And what else would they put in there?
Squirrel busters.
Type in squirrel busters in YouTube, and you'll see you'll see three or four meatheads with cameras attached to their hats, and one guy holding a camera.
Uh-huh.
And then your guy that you're there is sort of a safe haven guy, has got his video camera filming them videoing him.
Right.
And eventually it gets into the whole get off my property thing. And then if you watch one of the videos, you can hear your voice in the background. Are you not in one of the rooms locked up in the house?
It's a two-story house, and I was down having my lunch.
Yeah.
And when they showed up, they were slamming on the door just like the recruiters did in my surgery, which I found interesting, and just slamming on the door. And that's when the counselor told me to stay in and lock my door, and he realized it was the same man that threatened me in San Jose.
Hmm.
Well, Lori, all this stuff is so crazy that it's really hard for anybody who hasn't been part of something like that to get their heads around it.
And I know.
The question that keeps coming up for me, and I'm sure for a lot of other listeners, is what is it that attracts people in the first place? I mean, when you're a kid and they're asking you to sign a contract for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and to pay a bunch of money for all these sorts of training and so on, there's got to be some kind of really big promise that's hanging
yeah.
out there for people to be attracted to. What is it?
Well, I like the counseling. I mean, the communication class. There's areas in your life that we all want to improve on. And so we, in Scientology, you would take classes or counseling to help improve those areas in your life. And so that's what you wanted.
Yeah. So,
you know, whether
so essentially,
you're,
though, it's all classes and essentially sort of self-improvement
yes.
stuff that,
yeah.
that you, that's what's on offer.
Yeah, and that's what everyone would like to improve themselves. And so when I signed that 5-year contract, I thought, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
These prices were high back then, I thought. And I thought, well, if I'm on staff, I'll be awarded it. There's a way I can move up and do better. And that's the reason.
Okay. This is such a detailed story, such a journey. I'm really, really frustrated about the fact that we're running out of time. So let me just run a couple things by here, and then we've got to go. By the way, we're speaking with Lori Hodgson. She is an ex-Scientologist. And she's sharing her journey here about getting out of Scientology, even though it means losing her children, being disconnected, her family being torn apart. Listen to this text she received from her son. Mom, I'm having a very hard time too, and I never thought in my right mind that this would happen to us, and it's a big bummer. But you know what you and Nani need to do to put this family back together, and that's that. I really hope you guys fix this, and we're all still a family again. I miss you very much and hope everything is better soon, but I can't be around you guys with this going on. You're my mother. I will love you. I miss you too. Here's another text. Mom, please just handle the situation. Talk about code words.
Mm-hmm.
That's their terminology. You know what steps you need to do. It's that easy. And if me and Sissy aren't worth doing that, then I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, it's pretty hard, isn't it? Yep. That's what I've been dealing with.
And what is it you're supposed to do?
I'm supposed to get back in good standing with the church. I'm supposed to go in and go through their steps and let them know all the things I've read that are against the church, anything critical, you know, I haven't done it. But
yeah.
I do know that I need to go back in there, and I have no desire to go back in there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never go back after what I've been through. Okay. And, you know, I've lost my children. I hope, I have faith, they'll come back. But I don't want another parent to ever go through what I've gone through.
No.
That's my purpose of being public about it, because I really want people to understand and to be strong and not to be coerced and to just put your foot down. But I don't have the answer about the disconnection, because it is in full force.
Lori, have you thrown out the baby with the dirty Scientology bathwater? Have you thrown out God as a result of this Scientology experience?
Thrown out? What do you mean, thrown out? I believe in God.
Okay.
Yes, I feel, and I feel he's helping me right now, because I just feel being able to see my children at the hospital was an act by him, because I know they love me. My son took my note from me when I said I wanted to see him. He also said he loved me in the hospital. And my daughter hugged me like she didn't want to let me go. I think they're afraid.
Yeah.
I think they're terrified that they're going to lose their eternity, because they believe very strong in it. And they're worried about the disconnection maybe from their father and other friends. They have a lot of Scientology friends.
Yeah.
And I don't, but I, you know, they're disconnected from my whole family.
So,
my grandparents that are in their 70s, they can't see them.
So would you say that you're still a Scientologist, but you're just not practicing Scientology within the framework of official Scientology?
No, not anymore. I was doing Scientology outside the church, but now after going through the fair game and the disconnection, I don't want any part of it anymore.
But
if other people want to do it, that's
right.
Fine, but
so,
I don't have any desire.
So how would you describe how you're... How would you describe, how do I say this, where you're at with God? Like, what is different about your beliefs from then to right now? Or do you believe another faith? Are you a Jewish person? Are you a Christian?
I was baptized Lutheran, so I feel like I'm...
So you've kind of gone back to your Lutheran roots then? Is that it?
I feel so, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to Lutheran church, but... I believe in God. I've always believed in God, though. Scientology, they leave that up to the individual.
Right, yeah. That's Scientologists that I've spoken to, including the president of Scientology Canada, Yvette Schenck.
Right.
I've had a number of conversations with her, lovely lady. I said, look, you know, and people of all faiths get mm-hmm. into Scientology, because Scientology helps you in your faith.
Yes, that's right. And I've always believed in God. But I just feel I'm closer to him now. I feel I got my strength and my courage to speak up, to see that it's not right. I couldn't agree to this anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't continue it.
Look, I am going to ask our listeners, and I'm such a spiritually pathetic dork that I very rarely do this, but Lori, I'm going to ask our listeners to pray their faces off for you. Apparently we have thousands of people who listen to the station who have a prayer life, believe it or not, unlike myself. And please, people, will you please pray for Lori Hodgson and her family and her kids, that this family gets restored? Please.
Thank you very much.
Lori, thank you for sharing your journey with us.
And thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so sorry that this has happened to you.
Hopefully the next time we speak, I can reunite with my children and have them on the show with us. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be phenomenal. Please
we'll
let me
that,
keep
okay?
in touch. Yeah, thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Wow. Okay. I got to leave that one before I start saying things that are going to get me into trouble, like I've ever worried about that before.
Lost man in the lost world.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?